morning, Mr. President, members of council. As far as our legislative update there really hasn't been much change to the bills we've been watching, but I did want to make you aware of one new bill that's been introduced, and I only introduced this bill to you because it's of an ag nature. This is House Bill number 385, and 385 alludes to the growing and cultivation of hemp, which is an ag product, as we know.
Yep.
And since it's an ag product, I wanted you to opine on this, whether you wanted to offer an opinion about this bill while it goes through the process or not. But I want to make sure you were aware that it's been introduced in the legislature. It has a rather lengthy synopsis, so I probably won't read the entire synopsis to you because you can read it on your own, but I thought you should consider this bill and give me direction if you want to participate. It was just introduced a few days ago, so it's not like we have to worry about it passing the process immediately. But it talks about the relationship. I'll read part of it. Section 7606 of the Federal Farm Bill exempts the growth and cultivation of industrial hemp for research purposes from the provisions of the Federal Controlled Substances Act, the Safe and Drug-Free Schools and Communities Act, Chapter 81 of Title 41 of the United States Code, and any other federal law, so long as such growth and cultivation is also permitted under state law. So this bill is about the federal government is ready to clear us if we want to do that. So it's not going to automatically set Delaware up as a hemp-growing state, but it would give us the opportunity to choose to do that. So since it's an ag bill, I brought it to you. You can read it over, study it, and let me know if you want me to opine or offer your opinion on it in the legislature.
I don't know how Sussex County Council would have any impact on it, but I don't know why we need to chime in at all. Anybody?
We can let everybody think about it next Tuesday. We can
industrial hemp, everybody. I mean, it is a valuable product.
Does it look like marijuana?
I believe it's very similar. Mm-hmm. In my limited knowledge, I believe it's very similar.
It's going to be hard to police the marijuana that is grown within the industrial hemp field.
I think it might be interesting to participate, or at least be there to hear committee meetings if this bill makes it to committee for a committee hearing before the end of this session. Don't forget, this session only has 3 weeks left, and they're running fast and hard on bills that are very important. I'm not sure they'd get to this, but at least it has been introduced.
Don't they use this for make bale, hay, string, stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Make all kinds of stuff out of it.
Yeah. Correct.
Everything.
Next Tuesday, we can weigh back in and see what
yes.
they
mm-hmm. So I'll let you know what's happened with it.
Sure. I understand right. why we're in this. I mean,
yeah, I was
why,
say,
why we're trying to regulate the hemp.
Well, the bill is an agriculture-related bill is why I brought it to you.
I don't see us really weighing in on it, but
right.
I don't see why it's not okay.
Yeah. One other ag issue is the bill was passed by both chambers and signed by the governor that allowed for the 3% variance on hauling live chickens on trucks. That was an issue about weight and that you can't always predict what the chicken flock is going to weigh. That bill's been passed into law, so now that makes it a little easier for transportation of the chicken to.
So now I'll stick my neck out. They added two more crates to them now, so to make sure they do go nine.
That's up to you.
I read the bill. I understand.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't understand it to start with, but.
Okay.
Next, sir.
Yes, sir. Moving along to the next issue on the agenda, the Wetlands Advisory Committee. I have an update for you there. As you know, about 6 weeks ago, I voted for you on five issues that were brought before this committee. I was instructed by you to vote no and to explain that there was an exception that Mrs. Deaver wanted to be counted as a yes vote, so I explained that in my votes. The first three questions were denied. The committee did not adopt them. But the last two questions that related to incentives did pass. And while I voted against them, they did pass. And the committee would now like to take that a step further to see how exactly to recommend those two tax incentive programs. I want to try. I enclosed last week in your package a copy of Delaware Code Title 30. This is about taxes and incentives and deferrals of taxes. And this program has been in place since 1999, which allows for certain Delaware state income tax credits, not tax deductions, but tax credits, for those folks who are willing to give the state an easement on their property or buy the property outright. So this bill has been in place. What the committee would like to recommend is that, and by the way, when this argument came on the floor, I made them aware of our opposition to question five, was that we felt it would put an increased burden on the state budget's income by allowing for more tax credits. And honestly, we got an accolade for that because the chairman said, that's the best explained reason for not voting for this bill I've heard yet. So your opinion was well respected. But I wanted to point out that in this bill, there are three, in this law, the recommendation would keep three components in place as they are in the current law. And they are that we would continue to use the existing 40% of fair market value as the value of the property to be tax relieved. It would continue to have a 5-year carry forward period, so that if you couldn't use all of your tax credit this year, you have 4 more years after this year that you could continue to use up the remainder of the tax credit. Another thing that stays in place, and this was the key part that we inserted, was that the existing statewide cap of $1 million per year to the state's budget will stay in place. So they will not award more tax credits with the new plan we're going to recommend than the plan that is in place currently.
First come, first serve.
Yes, right. The two things they would like to change in this bill that they feel would make it more attractive for people who own wetlands to participate in this tax relief is, number one, to raise the individual tax credit limit from $50,000 per recipient to $100,000. That means that if Mr. Wilson wants to give 10 acres of his land into the system and the appraisal comes out at $100,000, he can take it now. He can take the $100,000 credit as long as the total stays under $1 million. So eventually, what I'm trying to say evidently is that the first 10 participants at $100,000 max would still be able to participate, whereas currently, to give you some comparison, over the last 13 years that this bill has been in place, there's been less than $750,000 given out in tax credits, which means that it really isn't working. The evaluation from some is that one of the reasons it's not working is because it's not a large enough tax credit for the owner of the wetland. But in other states where they have a larger amount, more people seem to participate. Another feature that would be added to this bill would be that the allowance of the transfer of tax credits to third parties, which means that if Mr. Wilson has $100,000 worth of tax credit available, but he doesn't need that much credit this year because he doesn't have that much tax due, he could sell his tax credit to Mr. Cole at some price that they agreed on, which would then use up the tax credit between the two of them. So the tax credit would be used because more than one person could participate. You could sell part of your tax credit. Those are the two features they'd like to change in this current law that the committee feels would enhance those people who own wetlands to participate in the incentive program. And I just need to let them know whether you support that or not.
I have a question. Why would they not take advantage of that? Do they see a higher and better use for that wetland? Or
that would be an individual landowner.
I know,
decision.
But I'm just trying to figure why they wouldn't want it.
That question has been asked before. I don't have the answer. But
yeah, I'm just thinking out loud. I just don't understand.
I would agree with you. It does seem easy to understand.
There's no impact on any county tax at all.
No.
No. Right.
This is only on state income tax dollars that are due.
Right.
Not a write-off, but tax dollars.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You owe $40,000 to the state in state income tax. You can use this mechanism to give the state an easement on your wetlands and get a tax credit to take off your income tax.
To the bottom line?
Excuse me?
But it actually gives them a chance to buy the land.
Yeah.
They buy $40,000.
They're essentially buying the land from you rather than you paying them taxes.
No.
Right. It's still dollars. It's still the exchange of dollars.
Questions of council?
The $1 million cap is for as many participants?
A year. There's a $10 million aggregate. Okay. And then it can be taken out as $1 million a year. The original law set aside a $10 million fund that could be used up to $1 million per year, and it hasn't been nearly used over the past 13 years.
Did they accumulate all the money that wasn't used?
I don't know that answer.
I don't know the question. Did they accumulate what, John?
It didn't reach that top, and I was wondering, did they accumulate money that wasn't used?
And in one sense, they're not really giving money here. The persons say owes them like you said here. It said
it's not carried forward.
$40,000. We owe $40,000.
Right.
So I said, well, instead of giving you $40,000, I'll just deduct this $40,000. So actually, no money was exchanged. None.
No money was exchanged, but you're not paying.
Nobody lost any money. They gained the land. I lost $40,000 worth of land.
But you don't have to pay $40,000 in taxes
either.
You
still own the land.
Well, in a sense, I do.
Is there any reason we would not support this? Any reason we would not support this?
I don't see it. I think it's very liberal. I mean,
yes,
the other option is to regulate it.
I spoke with Mr. Ross, and
he's here.
If you wanted to let him speak, that's fine. He and I have discussed this. I respect Mr. Ross's opinion. Generally, he does a very deep research on some of these issues, and sometimes he has more information on adjacent issues that I don't have. So if you want to hear from him, that's certainly your prerogative.
Is there anything, Mr. Ross, that we need to know before we
Short comment.
3 minutes.
Thank you. The biggest change that's being proposed is a transferability, which is preventing the program from being successful today. Because in order to use $100,000 or even $50,000 worth of tax credits, the state tax is roughly 6% as a number. If you made $100,000 a year, that would be $6,000 times 5 years. You would only have $30,000 in tax credits to use. So people don't want to participate because they're going to lose $20,000 in tax credits. So the transferability is important. The concern by some members of the committee is that our charge of the committee is to focus on wetlands and try to encourage preservation of this. The wetlands already qualify for this tax credit, even though they're not specifically stated, but other lands do as well. So many members of the committee, I hate to say many, but more than one, would like to see this tax credit recommendation to the General Assembly give a bonus for wetland preservation. For example, instead of being a 40% of fair market, make it a higher number so it would attract people to enroll wetlands as a targeted preferred land to protect rather than just any other land that might also qualify.
Well, what is the fair market value ordinarily of wetlands themselves? Is that what we're looking at?
Depends on location.
Well, it does. It depends a lot on where it is in the state and all that. I mean, DENREC has said from an environmental perspective, they're worth $400,000 an acre. I hope that newspapers don't print that number because property owners might get big hopes. But on average, NRCS's number and the state of Delaware's, our ag land preservation numbers, are running about fair market value around $6,000 an acre. 65% discount, they're paying about $1,800 to $2,200 an acre with a 65% discount. So that would give you roughly $6,000 per acre. So there are limitations to how effective the program can be. And what I would recommend is that, I mean, I think there's going to, I don't know if this motion will pass as it's written on the committee. I can't predict that. I know there'll be some no votes, but not because of a lack of support for the idea, but because we think they should focus more intent on the wetlands. And so raise that number from 40% to 50, 60, 70, or 80% for the isolated wetlands so it attracts more participants there.
I believe Maryland does offer 100%, don't they?
Many states
do. Virginia is 40%,
and again, it doesn't impact the budget because you still have that $1 million cap and a $10 million total down the road. So it's budget neutral, but it does draw people to the protection of these precious lands that we're discussing. So my recommendation to the council would be that we would reserve the vote on the original motion and try to get something that actually targeted the lands that the committee is charged with trying to protect.
Well, I thought I sort of misunderstood this a little bit. I thought it was 100% when you apply here. We're going to be able to deduct 100%. If you have 40,000, we can take 40,000 totally off.
It's 40% of your land.
Of the amount of money you owe. Is that
no. It's 40% of the value of your land.
That's right. Correct.
You can take the tax is dollar for dollar.
Well, it's almost the same, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a process, an appraisal process that goes through the NGOs, get involved, and they arrive at a number, then you're allowed 40% of that number.
Well, I have a little problem, too, with these people sometimes that come along and evaluate your land. And it comes to opinions from bottom land to wetland and lowland and all this other kind of stuff. And that sometimes creates a problem too. So I don't know.
Well, it would be your individual property owner's decision.
Exactly.
If the property is appraised and you think that's not a fair price, you can just say, I'm not in.
I don't see anything wrong.
But for those who do want to participate, this would be a mechanism that they could use.
See, you see something wrong with this that's been introduced here?
As it's proposed, the Farm Bureau will be voting against it. We would like to see a targeted land for the isolated wetlands at a higher percentage.
All right.
Because it just doesn't achieve what we want to achieve. The transferability is good. And remember, it's a recommendation. So we're not passing a law or voting for a law. We're trying to make a recommendation to the General Assembly, and we would like to recommend something that is a step above, not just the same. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Question, yes, Council?
We're looking at doing this as opposed to regulating.
Yes.
Yes. We voted down the regulatory right. option.
Yes. Any more questions of Council? Mm-hmm. What is the pleasure of Council on this
I have no problem
proposal
with that.
Godwin just read off to us.
A recommendation also.
It doesn't impact us yet. Yeah.
But I would agree that getting a higher percentage than the 40 would be what would be good. It would probably draw more people into the program, right, Mr. Godwin?
I think that every step that they can take that makes the incentive more attractive to more property owners. You know, I have also heard, not to offer an argument, but this is just a discussion I have heard. I've heard the argument made that in many cases, while the wetland is a piece of property to be considered valuable, it's not necessarily farmable. And some farmers view the wetlands as the part they have to plow around,
mm-hmm.
and they can't use it anyway. So if they're not using it and they're able to put it in some sort of a reserve and receive a tax benefit, some farmers see that as a a benefit.
Absolutely.
So, and not just farmers. There are individual property owners who just own a building lot with their home that has the back section is considered a wetland. So there's a number of different applications to be considered here. I see this as just a step forward in maybe making the wetland preservation incentives a little richer without spending more tax dollars because the lid stays on top of it. So that's just fine. If you want to give me a direction.
Well, I don't think we should hold back because of Mr. Ross. I think Mr. Ross's idea could mean that it could be amended at a later time. It could be if it becomes a bill, that could be amended to see what the General Assembly would do that.
Another feature that's available through this committee's action is that if your opinion is not the majority opinion on an issue that we vote on, you can then have your opinion entered into the record so that the General Assembly sees the Farm Bureau didn't support this because Sussex County did support it because the Delaware Conservation District. So you can, if you're not on the winning side of the vote, you can certainly put mm-hmm. your opinion in to be considered as the General Assembly considers this entire committee recommendation.
Any more comments from Council? Or?
Almost seems like we should go with it like it is, the 40%. And then after the first year, if we're still not hitting that $1 million cap, then the percentage should be raised.
Exactly. I think that's a smart way to approach it.
Okay. Everybody's okay with that?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's a good sense.
Thanks. You heard what?
I have a question.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Is there any bill to have for the state to take dog control, animal control back from the counties?
I wish there were.
Senator Blevins has done nothing on that? No bill?
Not done anything on moving the controls back to the state. I have been told, I've requested this repeatedly to the point where I'm becoming a pain in the neck to these folks.
Well, we know that.
I've been told that we're going to see action on that in January. Of course, this will be the 148th General Assembly because any bill that doesn't pass or isn't acted on fully by June 30th is wiped off the chart, and we start with a completely clean slate with the new General Assembly after the election. So I'm very hopeful that we'll get a bill introduced in January that does exactly what Senator Blevins has promised. I would hope. Thanks.
No question. Thank you, sir. Brandon Ullman, Fair Housing Update. Good morning.